Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hi, everybody. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy. And this is 51 First Dates, a podcast about, oh my God, what am I singing? Stop it now. A podcast about dating. A dating rum springa podcast, a place to come listen to us talk about dating and other things. Today is another thing. We're so excited about today's episode.
We are thrilled. We have such a great interview with the hosts of the Bipolar Bicoastal. Wait, did I say that in the right order?
Yes,
you did. I was like, don't fuck it up. The hosts of the Bipolar Bicoastal podcast, Anna and Maria. They are twins. They are both bipolar, and they have an awesome podcast about it, and we talk with them about all kinds of stuff, but about what it's like to date, their worst first date stories, like what bipolar even means. It was a really, really fun conversation. We're like mildly obsessed with them. They've also been longtime listeners, which is fun.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool, interesting conversation about a topic that like I didn't know a ton about, and I think it's really interesting. So please stick around for that in just a short bit of time. Why do I do these voices?
Why do I sing? I don't know why I do these things, Liza, but we're doing great. We're going to stop being so hard on ourselves, right?
Yes, we're working on it. It's under development.
Yes.
You know what is also under development? All of the business things I'm about to talk about.
Let's see business how fast development. I can do it.
Please rate, subscribe, review. It's really, really important to us. It helps people come across our podcast. It helps us get great guests. And you should also follow us on Instagram at 51 First Dates Pod and join our secret Facebook group, which is like a lovely special community that our guests today are members of, which is very fun. And also subscribe to our newsletter. We have a free newsletter every week. And you can subscribe below. There's a Substack link to our newsletter, Precious Gems. We also write out and link our consumption corner in there. So if you are wondering, you know, whatever, we talked about a podcast, but you can't remember the name, it's all there and it will come directly to your inbox.
Yes, please subscribe and share and tell your friends. My new goal in life is to make Liza a TikTok star. So pretty soon I will say, check out our TikTok. But if you have ideas for what we should put on the TikTok, oh my God, today is so hard. I'm really struggling today.
You're doing great. You're doing amazing, sweetie. I'm doing you. The Kris Jenner.
Thank you. Will you also just like take photos of me? Just like
do that's what you're doing, cam. Amazing, sweetie.
Oh, my God. But yes, tell us what would be fun on TikTok. We're old. We're not qualified to be doing this because of our old age, but I really want to because it feels like, you know, Instagram is very fun. TikTok is even more fun. Helps us find new listeners. Tell us what you would like to see on TikTok, and then like link a video because I won't know what the trend is called. So just be very specific for your grandma.
If you could put it in skywriting, we'll give you our addresses. Just tell us when. But we're thrilled you're here. We love you guys so much. We're so happy you are listeners. And thank you for putting up with our business.
Yes. We did it.
We did it. And what about consumption?
Well, right now I'm consuming, that's how they say it, right? A spicy little light margarita. It is the hair of the dog. I had my first hangover in a very long time today, and that's surprising to some of you who listened to this podcast at the beginning, but I've just been struggling, and that is something I'm consuming. While I continue to think about what I did consume / find my note, Liza, what are you consuming?
I'm just thinking about how much I was drinking. I mean, this isn't a consumption, but I'm thinking about how much alcohol I was consuming at the beginning of the pandemic. Mm. Like a bottle of wine. Well, it's like a split between me and Jeff, but he only ever has like a glass of wine. So I was having 4 glasses of wine a night for like a month. And I was regularly just low key, like light hungover weekday every day.
Every day. It was such a crutch. I learned that I, you know, don't have the healthiest relationship with alcohol because I was so anxious and that was what I was using to soothe myself, self-soothe.
But also I think like we can give ourselves a little bit of slack for that. That was such a stressful, like all the like 1 year kind of like things on the news and just in on social media and stuff for like reminding me just like, holy shit.
Did you know today is the 1 year since Tiger King came on?
Oh my
that
God.
That just puts it into perspective for me. That was something yeah. I just saw on the internet.
Yeah, thought, that's a big whoa. One. So this week I actually consumed something that I think is really fun. I've been sort of feeling like I'm out of TV shows. Like it's been, I just haven't had anything. Like I've been finishing a lot of stuff, but I haven't had much to start. I watched a lot of, the HBO show, The Comeback from like 2006 or something. It's like a extreme throwback. But it is stars Lisa Kudrow mm-hmm. as a woman who used to be on a sitcom and then has just not been working a ton. And then she gets cast on a new sitcom as like the older, like kooky aunt. And the network also is filming a reality show about her on the sitcom called The Comeback. So it's very mockumentary. All of the HBO show, The Comeback, is all like supposedly like raw footage, air quotes, raw footage from this fake reality show that she's on. I'm doing a bad job explaining this.
No, you are not.
But like Lisa Kudrow is just so fucking talented. She's so, the show is really funny. It definitely is in that category of shows that's like almost too uncomfortable to watch. And I think I had tried to watch it when it like a long time ago. And it was just like for a long time, like that show, The Office, like Curb. There were a few shows where I was like, this is too, I can't, it's too cringy internally. And this was one of those shows. And recently I haven't been feeling that way. And I just watched a lot of it in like one sitting. And I will say there are a couple things that are not 2021. I don't think that it was like emblematic of the time. There was some jokes about race and stuff that are also show up in shows like The Office and other sitcoms of this like early aughts that are not okay and are not the things that would be made today. So like that's just a warning for people. But the show is very, very funny, and Lisa Kudrow is so fucking good. And they actually made a new season of The Comeback like 5 years ago that was 10 years after the first season.
That's
kind of like,
okay, sorry to interrupt you. I thought it was more recent. I was thinking of the Laura Dern Enlightened show when you first said The Comeback.
Yes.
HBO's got a catalog.
Yes. And like it's just, for me, it highlighted something about like as someone who for a second wanted to be an actor who still wants to have like a career in entertainment, it just highlights something about like the desperation as being a TikTok star like that I absolutely feel, you know, like the feeling of just like anything if I can be famous a little bit, and I'm fight against that. But like it is, there's something so true about it. And I just think that like I keep saying, Lisa Kudrow is a fucking American treasure. And I just loved every moment of her in this. She hit a note. She's so funny and so smart. And she just hit every like little nuance of this character so well. She's also an executive producer with Michael Patrick King, who did like Sex and the City and Emily in Paris. Like they're the two like EPs of the show. But it was just like a fun. I was like, oh, I was cruising HBO Max and I was like, oh, watch this. And I'm really, really glad I stumbled on it.
Liza, I love that. I also, this is a slight detour, but in your, it's aligned to your fame dreams. So I'm sure many of you, I know many of you follow Tinks on TikTok/Instagram. And she has a smoothie named after her at Erewhon, this very fancy store in LA. And I was there today and saw someone order it. And I was like, that's cool. Like, I have a friend from school who knows her. I'm like, this girl got famous on TikTok. She's really funny. And now she has a smoothie. I was like, whoa, what would your thing be that you'd want named after you? Like, what would it be and where?
Ooh, I would like, and I mean, this is so basic. Like, I don't think it's unique enough to be named after me, but I would like an iced full fat latte at Cafe Grumpy to be named after me.
Dang, that's good.
Like whole milk. Fucking all of it.
I just realized I'm going to have to answer this. I don't have an idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it could be inspired by the spicy margarita I'm having right now, but I would love that. I just don't really feel like it's appropriate to call it a Kimmy, you know? So let me think. What else do I love? I'm the worst. I'd love a spicy margarita at... Oh, I can't think of it where. Somewhere to be named after me. Wow,
Ooh, can
that
I
was
pick
a
one
really great
you?
Segment. Can you please? Yeah, thank
What's the place in Santa Monica, that wine bar? I want a charcuterie Ooh. Board at that wine bar to be named after you. That's a specific combination of meat, cheeses, meats and cheeses.
You are a dream. Yes, at Esther's. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is why you'll be like a TikTok star.
Because you could curate the different meats and cheeses well. Mm. And like the sweet element and the salt, like you could just put it together well.
That is fun. Yes, because it needs to be something you can kind of curate. It can't just be like a spicy beverage.
It can't just be like an iced latte.
No, it can.
Like I need to... No, that's like that's just a thing. If it was like if it had
cinnamon.
Like if it had like some other thing in it, then I could be like, it's that, but it's just a fucking iced latte. But the specific thing to me is that it's full fat. I don't want any 2%
no substitution. I'll take Eliza with like... oat milk. No.
Nope. That's not what it is. Yeah. No, I get that like once a month at like it's like a milkshake. I mean, it's like I never and I just makes my it destroys my stomach, but it's so fucking good. I get it. Like I plan to get it.
A milkshake or like a Jenny's ice cream flavor could also be very fun to come up with on your own. I just have no ideas. I'm not destined for stardom. Alas, what a day this has been. What a
journey.
We
have time to think about it while we're building up our TikTok. Stardom. We'll think about what our specialty items will be and where.
I can't believe how hard I want to be Gen Z. It's so sad. Okay. Liza, I am also consuming.
What are you consuming, though?
I'm also consuming. I apologize.
No, not at all.
Okay. I have one quality thing. There's a Harper's article that I read earlier this week and was like sobbing throughout. It's a really interesting story. Hold on. Let me find... in the author's words, by Anne Patchett, called These Precious Days. These are her words. An essay about Tom Hanks, tornadoes, running bookstores, taking mushrooms, making art in quarantine, stories without endings, and an unlikely friendship. And without giving too much away, Tom Hanks's assistant, who seems like an incredible human, meets Anne, who writes this, who owns a bookstore in Nashville, through... Because Tom Hanks is really into books. He wants to or has started a bookstore. And because they've struck up like a very barely a friendship, but because this woman, Anne, who writes the articles, husband is a doctor, when Tom Hanks' assistant gets diagnosed with cancer and needs a clinical trial, she helps her out and they end up staying together in the quarantine in their house in Nashville. Remember those giant tornadoes at the beginning of the pandemic?
Holy shit, yeah.
Anyway, so I did a terrible job pitching it. That's why I pulled up the writer's description. But it was so moving. It's a really beautiful story. It's a long read. I hadn't read something like that in a minute, and it was just really satisfying. I think I read it like during some reality show that was on in the background. And it was so much more satisfying. I was like weeping, and it's just nice to feel...
You know? Yeah. Oh my God. Can I recommend something to you?
Yes.
Only because it's just like, in what world, especially since I've been barely reading, but you know, the one thing I've been fucking reading like a giant tool is The New Yorker. Mm-hmm. So the Anne Patchett wrote a personal history in The New Yorker I've just pulled it up because I want to get the title right while you're talking.
Ooh.
In September, called My Three Fathers.
Oh, wow.
And I had a similar feeling. I read it and I was crying and she's just such a good writer. I was she's like, I have to read her novels because she's like this piece. I'm going to read that one, but you should also read this. I'm going to text it to you. Like she had, you know, obviously a biological father and then two different stepfathers. And she had a very specific and very close relationship with all three of them. And she just kind of talks through them. Talks through her relationships with them and what they all meant to her and how they all helped form like who she is. And it's just so like she's just such a fucking good writer. I'm so impressed by people who are good writers.
Yeah, such a good writer. I didn't know anything about her because I don't read The New Yorker anymore. And when I had a subscription, I didn't really read it either. I tried. But yeah, okay, that's interesting. I need to read more. I thank you, Liza.
No, I mean, I had never read, I recognized her name, but I had never read one of her books. I have had no experience with her outside of this one article. And I was like, oh my God, I have to read all this woman's novels. So it's just funny. You read similarly like a personal history, like essay kind of thing. Yeah, that's funny.
I will say I really enjoyed your precious gems. Speaking of personal histories and essays. I did. We talked about Soft Boys. Go check it out. Yes, I will always promote when Liza writes it, not when I write it. Okay. I've been consuming so much Poog. I know I've already talked about that podcast by Kate Berlant and Jacqueline Novak, but I just want to I want to pitch it again. There was a topic covered this week wherein something that Jacqueline Novak likes to do at home, she calls Big Red, and that is Seamless and Netflix. So that's just the kind of vibe we're working with. I was rolling.
Oh my God.
I was
it's
dead.
It's so funny because, like, I've had that exact same thought when I'm ordering Seamless and watching Netflix, where I'm like, here, my apps, here we go. Like, the two red apps with white writing that, like,
feels... this is, again, TikTok.
But, like,
star
I never would be funny enough, but I would never be funny enough to be like, oh, I'm going to call this Big Red. That's incredible.
Also, Amy Schumer shouted that out on her podcast or something this week when Paris Hilton was a guest. Paris Hilton's response, I think I sent this to you, Liza. I'll just post it on our thing, was like, I have to listen to that. Like, I forget exactly, but in that Paris voice. So Paris is checking out Poog. You should too. I just can't stop listening and pretending I'm cool enough to be friends with these two women. Finally, two more. Sorry, I guess I really did have a list this week. I watched the first episode of Waffles and Mochi Mochi and Waffle. The sweet Michelle Obama children's show. It's basically Top Chef with puppets. Or, sorry, not Top Chef. You know, any of the food journey shows, Ugly Delicious, you know, Anthony Bourdain, like, but with puppets learning about tomatoes and things. Mm. It was very sweet. And the mochi is so cute. I would recommend, you know, an edible in that. I did not have an edible, but I wanted one. It's just so sweet. It was making me kind of well up in cuteness. And then finally, I just this morning listened to Matt James on Bill Simmons' podcast, which is not our brand at all, but he interviewed him after all of this. And I feel like it wasn't Oprah-level kind of questioning, but I did get a sense. I feel like Matt's maybe actually okay. He just wiped his Instagram and, like, he sounded okay. I just thought it was kind of – it was so much more than after the final rose. He gave a lot more. And
yeah,
I think it's worth a listen to hear his perspective. It's like at the beginning of the podcast, so you don't need to listen to all the sports, you know.
No. Yeah, that's good. I would like to hear more from him. I was – yeah, him wiping his Instagram was scary because it's like I know how vicious the Bachelor Nation fandom can be and especially how racist they can be.
Yeah.
And I just really hope he's – probably naively hope he's not being subjected to, like, online racist trolls.
He was. Rachel, not Lindsay, Rachel, other, you know, Rachel.
Kirkconnell.
Yes, thank you. She, like, put a message up, so I guess he was being harassed.
Ugh, people are such trash. Yeah. This happens a lot to, this has been a conversation, as everyone knows, I'm a big RuPaul's Drag Race fan.
Mm-hmm.
This happens a lot to drag race queens, too. Queens of color and, queens who are fat, you know, like, so I'm using the term fat because that's, like, the term that I think they use, like, that's what,
yeah,
you know, like some of the big girls on that show. One of the most recent winner of Drag Race UK, I think, had to deactivate their Twitter because of the hate. She's a big girl, and it's like, yeah, it's just the fucking internet.
I'd like to give up on the internet soon. Except for TikTok. I'm sorry. I posted one video and got so excited when, like, we got 100 likes. That is, like, one like on TikTok. Oops. Anyway, sorry to make it about me. This is a serious topic. But I just, it's time. Like, people are not getting any better on the internet that, you know, it happened to one of the basketball players in March Madness, who played for Ohio State or whatever, went out quickly. I only know this because I have money involved. Yeah, Liza and I are in a Betches.
You're doing
bracket.
Well in our bracket.
I am crushing it.
You're doing really well.
I think I just went down.
You do well every year.
I always, like, do a little research. I watched an entire TV show that talked me through
but
what
dude,
to pick.
It just drives me crazy because I do a lot of research too, and I never do well. I think you're just good. I think you got to bet for real money next year.
Yeah, maybe I do. It's so fun. It's really fun.
It's so fun. I, like, as, I don't know, deep bench fans will know, college basketball is the only sport I give a shit about. So I love it, but I never do well. And I'm like,
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Sure it always crashes.
It's so
and
much
burns
fun.
For me
I don't even care. You know?
You're doing well, though, too, actually.
I'm in the middle. It's so much about, like, just having fun and having like having people to root for in the smaller games is just so much fun. I don't even care. It would be great for my pride to like do well one year, but it's so fun.
It's so fun. And now it's the Bill Simmons podcast. So welcome to it.
You sports.
Made it. Sports. Great. We love you so much. Thank you for everything. I just shut us down right there.
I think it's time.
Please enjoy this conversation. These two women shared so much with us and we learned so much. Bipolar Bicoastal is their podcast, Anna and Maria. Check it out. Follow them. Follow us. And we love you. Okay, we are so excited to be joined by Anna and Maria from Bipolar Bicoastal, an amazing podcast I've probably already gushed about in the introduction. I know I have. But thank you both so much for being here and doing this. We're so appreciative.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, like I said before, but we're day one fans. We're so excited to be on here. My mom and I were listening to the podcast about attachment styles in the car today. Oh. And she was like, mine is anxious, what's yours? I was like, it's anxious. And she was like, I tried to like save you from it. I'm like, no, mom, but like, that's not how it works. But I was like, we're good. But yeah.
I listened to you all. Anna introduced me to you all, and I listened to you when I was driving across country, moving from D.C. to L.A. So, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That makes me so happy. It's still, even after all these years, it still feels, like, not real to me that anyone listens to us. Like, right. Obviously, like, we talk to listeners, we connect with them, but it's so just, like, I'm in my bedroom in sweats. You know, it's just, like, such a weird thing to put together. But that's really, really cool. We're so excited to have you guys on. We're going to talk all about everything. We're gonna talk about your podcast. We're gonna talk about how it started. Actually, maybe we'll talk about that first, and then we'll do worst firsts. Was that a good game plan? So like, tell us a little bit about yourselves, about your podcast, how it got started, all the things.
You want Anna? Yeah. Do you want me to do it?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, Anna and I are twins, if you didn't know, and we both have bipolar disorder. So essentially, Anna got diagnosed a year before I did, and then four years ago, and I got diagnosed 3 years ago, me, Maria. And so I also, well, let me explain what bipolar disorder is first. So bipolar disorder is basically there's like two, it's a mood disorder. And so you can either be manic or hypomanic or depressed. And so basically the depression is what I think everybody would think of as depression. And then mania is characterized by like an increased like energy level,
lack of sleep.
It can be a lot of different symptoms. So I'll just say like mine and Anna's combined. We had different ones, but just like to kind of explain. So mine were like hypersexuality, which is kind of relevant to this podcast. I also like didn't really eat for like 3 months much. I slept maybe like 3 or 4 hours a night, maybe like 5 or 6. Like increased like agitation, so like I would like be very like aggressive with people. I like increased confidence, so like I kind of like just had like really like sick self-confidence for like 3 months when I was hypomanic, which is like mania but like without psychosis or like as
less severe.
Like you can kind of function not really as yourself, but like you can kind of like fool people, I would think.
To someone who didn't know you, it can come across as like, wow, this person's just like very charismatic, very like like increased mood, increased energy. It also, though, there's a lot of impulsivity that like comes along with it too,
and like spending. Like people tend to like I like bought a car when I was manic, so like you can do that. And then Anna, do you want to list what your symptoms were for mania?
Yeah, it was similar. I was hypermanic, so I was hospitalized during mine, but it was, which doesn't always happen, but it did happen for me. So I was agitated, very paranoid. I had some like auditory hallucinations, very, very irritable. Like we go from like 0 to 100 in terms of like the number of like I screamed at people for like no reason.
Right.
And you just like you're just very, like, I was just very agitated the whole time.
Right.
Like, you're not really calm ever.
Like, rushed speech.
At least for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's different for different people.
Mm-hmm. And then depression follows. Or it could be, like, depression mania. So it's just, like, and then there's periods of stability. So Anna and I have both been, I've been stable for 3 years. And Anna's been stable for
four,
basically, since we got diagnosed. Because we're on medication and in therapy, which is the treatment for it. Okay, and so we have bipolar disorder, and nobody else in our family does, and we didn't know anybody else, like, in our lives who had it that we were aware of. Now that we've started the podcast, people have, like, come to us, which is cool.
Which is really cool.
Very cool. And so when we both first got diagnosed, we liked to listen to podcasts. We were looking for podcasts about it, and we couldn't find many that were, like, super high quality or, like, about people who weren't, like, either, like, super, super successful, like, doctors or, and, like, experts in their field, or, like, a mess, like not doing so hot because of the disorder. So we were just trying to find, like, a middle ground, sort of. And then also I was moving from D.C. to Los Angeles, and we wanted a way to keep in touch because Anna's still in Baltimore. No.
Yes.
Yes. So I think that's...
Yeah, no, very, just really sweet. Like, honestly, I'm like, Liza, I'm so grateful for this podcast, for our friendship when I moved. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so nice.
Yeah, it's like, we are going to talk for an hour a week, and other people will listen, but it's
guaranteed. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, and you talk beforehand, too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, sometimes for like an hour beforehand, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, we need to record it.
12 a.m., yeah.
Can you guys, I'm just, this is a misconception I had about bipolar before I like learned a little bit more about it, but can you guys talk a little bit about just like the length, like how long each of those cycles would be?
That's a really good question,
and it varies. Like, that's the weird thing. So for me, I was misdiagnosed with just Maria, it's monopolar depression or is it unipolar?
I think it's unipolar. Yeah,
every time. Yeah, I was diagnosed with just regular, air quotes, regular depression, major depressive disorder, for like months before my manic episode, but then I also experienced depression for like years before then. Like, my depression probably started like junior, senior year of high school, and I was diagnosed my super senior year of, so my fifth year of
victory lap.
Oh, yeah,
quite the victory lap. I was definitely hospitalized halfway through it, so it's okay. So my super senior year, I was finally diagnosed with depression, but that was after, like, what, 4, 5, 6 years of suffering from it. And most people, that's when they get, like, help is when they're during their depressive episodes. So that's why it's part of why it's so misdiagnosed, is because that's how it presents as depression. And you don't tend to think back in your life and be like, wow, I was so happy and like so up during that time. Like, what could have been going on there? It's like, no, like,
yeah, depression feels that terrible.
But yeah, and so this is not what you asked, but so then I was put on Zoloft, and that triggered a manic episode for me, which is when I got my bipolar diagnosis. But for me, the mania only lasted a few weeks as like hypermania, and then probably for a few weeks after I got out of the hospital, because my mania was so heightened and it was so scary. Like, it was not a fun one. It was, no one was like, she's so charming, they're like, this girl seems like she needs help. And when I was, the day that I was finally hospitalized, I was like in my closet, like shut in, being like, no one, like, come near me, like, no one talk, and like, everyone's out to get me, like, get my passport, get my birth certificate, like, let's freaking go. Only person I trusted was Maria, and then I ended up, like, being, the police were called, emergency services are called, the police came, and I was, like, carried, kicking and screaming, into an ambulance and taken to the hospital. So mine only lasted, like, 5 weeks because it was so severe and because I was medicated pretty immediately afterwards that I was in the hospital. And we're both very lucky that as soon as we started taking medication, it pretty much worked. Like, there was some weeks of it, but we didn't have to go back and forth finding the right medication, which is most people's stories with bipolar disorder. We just got lucky that our bodies just happened to react really well to ones that we were put on. And for Maria, I think part of it too was like they knew what I was on, so they could kind of try to figure it out for her, although we are on different
antipsychotics.
And
mine lasted like 3 months, so it can be anywhere from like I probably was like five days to like several months, I would think.
Unless you have rapid cycling, which we don't know a ton about, but like that switches within like a day, which is really different than ours.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because I feel like that must be, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's kind of a common assumption about like what bipolar disorder is that it's like,
yes,
1 minute you're happy, the next minute you're depressed.
Exactly. You know, we're like, no. Because I don't know if you guys watched the Modern Love series on Amazon with like Anne Hathaway as like the bipolar person.
I didn't watch it. Which is shocking. We have a dating podcast, but
honestly, we love the Modern Love column in the New York Times. I can't recommend the show, honestly. Although I know, like, you both lived in New York, so perhaps you would like enjoy it more. Like, we aren't like New York media super fans, but what I will say is like what they portrayed for her was rapid cycling, and we were like, ugh, kind of wish that hadn't been like the story to be told, because and it's a true story, but like, it's nowhere close to the reality of most people who have it.
Yeah, it's not like minute by minute.
Not like the weather going from like rainy to sunny in like a few hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more extended.
Mm-hmm. Oh, super interesting. It's really cool to hear firsthand perspectives on this, because I think it is like weirdly a term that gets thrown around a lot. Mm-hmm. Like
totally.
Inappropriately. And I don't know. I thought I wanted to be a therapist for a while and was a psych double major in college. So I read like a memoir of someone with bipolar disorder.
Oh, which one? Was like K. Red Jameson?
Yeah. Unquiet Mind, right? Yeah. And it was like a great book, right? But I just remember being like, oh my God, this is not what I thought.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously, I know this much about it. I'm not trying to be like, I read a book. I know. I don't know.
But that's more than we knew going into. Like, we had no idea. We had
before
the same.
Before we were diagnosed, didn't read anything about it. It was just like, if someone did tell me, I was like, I don't know what that means. Like,
It's honestly, that's what I think is so cool about what you're doing. Again, knowing that it's not just about having a doctor on and educating people all the time, but providing a community for other people who may be diagnosed or just want to like learn more. And I think just super amazing what you're doing. And thank you for educating us. And I know there are listeners out there who this will be really powerful for. But with that said, that is why we wanted to kind of introduce you both before getting into what we have to get into.
Yes.
Worst first dates. And it's funny because once upon a time we read Maria's worst first date on the podcast. Yes. But you have another one. Yes. I have heard.
Yes.
Maria, did you submit that when you were manic, or was it afterwards?
No, it was far. It was far afterwards. Okay. I submitted it when Maria submitted it when I was like driving across the country, and I was like, I like this show. I think I have a funny one. And so I submitted it. Do you want to go first, Anna, or do you want me to go?
Well, do you want to say, like that was, okay, so that story, if I don't remember, was she had gone on a date with someone who said their name was
Duncan.
Duncan, and their name was actually Peter, was that right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is bizarre, because, like, Duncan is so less
It's so
sexy
stupid.
No offense to Duncan's listening, but, like, what?
Yeah, I don't know which episode you all read it on, but you get the idea. It's weird that somebody lied about their name.
It's very weird, That's why we read it. We're like, this is one we have to read.
Yep. He was like, I work for a consulting company, so people can't know. And I was like, but that's not real. Yeah.
And this is when you were in D.C., right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, cool, a lot of people work for consulting companies.
Oh, surely. Yeah, there's a lot of people who, I was like,
so it's like not that, you're not in a like government job where it's like,
he didn't work for the CIA, like, and we know people who work for the CIA and they would still use their first name on a dating profile.
Like, yeah.
You know, was, like, most people will, like, put them, like, with a politician, in their Tinder pictures, too.
Yeah.
My Tinder bio had me with the Teddy Roosevelt. You guys don't watch DC sports teams, I assume, but I will just say this anyways. It was,
I don't watch any sports, I will say. That's a lie. March Madness.
Like, we would go to the games, and when the Nationals, the DC baseball team, won the World Series a few years ago, I was in the stadium, not where like the game was happening. We watched a TV screen, and I like took a picture with like the mascot Teddy Roosevelt, and like that was my like little wink and nudge, but wasn't a very popular.
It didn't get you a lot of dates, huh?
No, but Maria, why don't you do your worst first date first, because it has to do with being manic, and then I will do mine.
Okay. So I was hypomanic. I broke up with me and my boyfriend broke up like right when I was starting to speed up, probably in part because of that. Mm-hmm. And speeding up is when you start becoming manic, or hypomanic in my case. And so I got on Tinder and just went on like a very, very, very long string of like It was my first time being single, I will say, in my adult life. And I just, like, hooked up with, like, a lot of people. And I would also go on a lot of first dates because I had all this energy. And, like, I was hard to be around. So, like, my family and friends didn't, like, super want to be around me. I wasn't sleeping. I just, like, I was just having a summer. So, I'm queer. So I had my settings as, like, both men and women, because at that time Tinder and Bumble, you couldn't do like all genders, you could just do like two, like men and women, but I date all genders. But so basically I found this like couple, I swiped right on them, and they, it turns out that they weren't a normal couple. I was so I swiped right and I thought the girl was pretty. I didn't think the guy was very pretty, and we like exchanged phone numbers, and they sent me, she sent me this like out of this fucking world text that I just found, again, I hadn't thought about in like years. It's been 3 years. So this is what she sent. We'll call her Karen, I guess. So she sent me this text, and she said, "The way things work over here with us is strategically designed. We look to have only the most beautiful, high-class women with a high maturity level. It is a close relationship. He is the only man. He doesn't trust men in his business. We only deal with the people in our circle. Multiple minds working together, multiple incomes, and a team that has a family-structured support system makes us stronger. His career is a financial consultant. He works with high net worth individuals. We will go as a whole, dress up, and go out to high class establishments to bring in high profile clients for his career. His end goal is creating generational wealth. He has an elaborate plan that we will be executing. All women are expected to bring in at least one source of revenue. Opportunities vary. As long as it is lucrative, it is welcome. There are many options. Exotic dancing, modeling, webcam, escorting, hosting, featuring in music videos, adult videos, etc." And then on and on, on and 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 on. And then she starts just doing a bunch of like metaphors. So we play our role. Each person has a specific thing they focus on. It is like a wristwatch. If one wheel stops turning, no matter how big or small, the whole watch doesn't work. One twig breaks easily, but a group of twigs bundled together is strong. If you took sled dogs and pointed them in all different directions, they would tear the sled apart. When they're all in the same direction, everyone working together, they get there faster, it's easier, and they go much farther. And then in all caps, multiple minds working together towards a goal makes us stronger. And then it's like, I look forward to continue getting to know each other. We can sit down, eat, and speak in a little more detail. Let's figure out what date and time you will be available for brunch, lunch, dinner next week. I hope your day is filled with positivity. And I responded, very, very interesting. Okay, I'll text you dates / time sometime later today or tomorrow.
Okay, so Kimmy and Liza, what does that sound like to you?
A cult.
Yes.
My
yes.
Jaw I was going to say a sex floor. Work MLM, but a cult is more accurate.
Mm-hmm. A creepy, oh my God. I wish that everyone could see me and Kimmy's
Liza's
face through that whole thing.
Jaw was like yeah. To the floor the entire time.
I am shook.
I never, wow. I was, yeah. So yeah, that's
and
so.
Maria like read me that at dinner. This is the hard part on Mania, that you can't tell someone no. Like you can't be like, this is a bad idea. They're like, well, fuck you. And you're like, okay, but like maybe, like let's not go to the cult thing. Like that sounds bad. And she like, told me, so I was like, how do I say you shouldn't meet up with this person? It's like, especially because Maria's in TV, so she's like, oh, this is like a story, like good story. And I was like, yeah. Great. This story, though.
Yeah, like, just maybe, like, I don't know. Like, yeah. Text me, like, I would like to make a documentary about you, but I will only ever be there with two bodyguards and, right. Like, yeah. A deprogrammer. Yeah.
Right.
That's a super good response. What I did instead was I went on a date with this guy.
Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
And she wasn't there. They always, well, how much of this is actually true, but they always, like, send him first, and then he's like, works. And I also want to say that you can't see me, but I'm queer. I don't like look terribly like high class and like high maturity. Like I'm wearing a shirt with like a deer on it from like the kids section of Target, and so
Right.
And I was like 23 at the time. So just like, I just, it's like they obviously send that text to like everyone who has the misfortune of like swiping on them. Right. But it was just like, what a dumb, like, just, I'm like, nobody would pay for me to be a cam girl. Like, I don't, like, it's just like that they were barking up the wrong tree. But anyway, so I went on a date with this guy at like a diner close to my house. Was that a good move? Probably not. And like, biked there. And Anna and our friends, or just, I don't know who convinced me, but they were like, don't bring your driver's license. Don't bring your credit card. Like, you don't want them knowing your identity.
And I was like, call me at any point. Like,
and I was like, I'll just call myself Duncan. Brilliant.
Oh, and my God. They'll never know.
I hadn't met Duncan yet. But, so yeah, anyway, so I got there, and it was just, like, he was, like, not as, like, he wasn't cute in his pictures, but he was, like, even less cute in person. It was, like, a very confusing conversation where he was, like, God, I see you. He was, like, what's in your bank, like, how much money is in your bank account? Yeah, yeah. What do you do for work? Like, oh, you're very, like, and then it kind of just turned out that he and his wife, like, common-law wife, she was, like, a dental hygienist. He was maybe a financial advisor, maybe not. They lived, like, very far into, like, the country of Virginia. And, like, probably in, like, a very sad house. Nobody else had joined their MLM or cult. Like, it was just, like, very sad. I was like, what are you doing? And even I was, like, literally out of my mind. And I was like, this is sad. Like, this is just kind of a bummer. Like, they're trying to start this cult. I just asked, like, a bunch of questions. I was like, well, so if you're the only man, I can't have sex with anybody, any other guys. And he's like, no. I was like, that sounds not that much fun. That sounds kind of shitty. And I was like, yeah. And then I met his common-law wife. And she had, like, kids. I was like, ugh. I don't want to, like, kid shame, but, like, is this really the energy you want to bring into your kid's life?
No.
No. No. That's a great answer, Kimmy. Oh, and God. So,
and you're raising them in Virginia, which is...
Just kidding. Just kidding. But, no. But, yeah. And so, you're from Maryland, so there's, like, a rivalry. And so, anyways, so, yeah, and I ended up meeting her really briefly as well on, like, a night out, and then just, like, never... Like, I think he, like, texted me, like, every few days for, like, a few months after that. Because, like, I'm sure I was the only person who, like, actually went on a date.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, yeah. So, that's my worst first date. Yeah.
My God. That is bonkers. And I'm so, like, A, I'm really sorry you were in that situation and it sounds scary, but also, like, what an incredible story.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You were like, I guess I should go on this just in case I ever go on a podcast that, like, ask you your worst.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I was like,
ever.
Good story. Say this for 3 years. I'm going to leverage this into going on a podcast.
Unreal. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. Anna, what about you?
Okay, mine is much more vanilla.
Oh, yeah. She can top it. Go ahead, Nanners. Go ahead.
Led with my... Okay, so I have not gone on a ton of first dates. I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but, like, most of my first dates have been after I've already been intimate with the person. And
yeah.
Before this podcast. Yep. Before this podcast, I could relate. Yep.
Right. I'm sorry. And so... But there was one... it was after we'd already... been intimate, but it was a first date technically, and
nice.
It was fine. Like, it was a fine date. I just happened to be like, I ended up dating someone else very soon after. It was like two dates in the same week, which again never happened for me, but it was kind of exciting. And ended up, like, just dating other guy instead for 3 years, so that are 2 years and then quarantine, so 2.5 years. And because we started again. I'm sure people are familiar with that story. And, but, like, so we just, like, mutually ghosted each other was what I thought had happened in his head. Like, the number of times I've texted guys, like, years later, like, apologizing something. For example, Marie and I had my first kiss when I was 15 with this guy, and, like, we dated for, like, 3 months. I was 15. And
hot.
Like, 4 years later, during Me Too, he DM'd me on Instagram and was like, hey, I'm not sure if it was you or your twin that I dated, but I feel like there was some messed up stuff that happened during it, so I wanted to apologize for that. And I, like, messaged back, and I was like, to my memory, like, it was a fine relationship. Like, we were 15 and 16 years old. Like, it wasn't amazing, but there was nothing non-consensual in my mind. And I was like, but now you do need to apologize for, like, not knowing who was who. And
yeah.
Also, like, we have a mutual friend he could have asked. It's like, what gets me? I'm like, you didn't have...
Also,
who,
like,
was this apology for? Like, to make yourself feel better? Because I hope you feel worse, and because they, you
they
should.
They must have, like, you all, like, maybe went to second base, Max, right?
Yeah, and he so was, like, what a total gentleman, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you guys are fraternal twins, right?
We're actually identical.
Probably. Okay. We dye our hair.
Yes. So.
I was just thinking, like, do you just have different hair colors, or are you identical? Okay, that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. No. Wait. Great question. If my quarantine roots, if you can see, are, like, pitch
I have the same
ones. Black.
You can see that my top knot is a different color.
Yes, when I do a top knot, it's also, like,
yep. Spicy. I also, weigh a little bit more than Maria does as well, so fills out the face. But yeah, but I was just like, this is so confusing that you would think to do this, and also, like, fuck you. But anyway, so this guy, similar thing, he texts me and he's like, hey, I'm sorry it's taken so long for me to send this, but I figured better, like, very, very late than never.
And how many years was this at? Like, a
it
year?
Was like a year after.
Yeah.
We went on, like, one date, little okay. one date. And I and he was like, I obviously owe you an explanation. And I was like, okay. And he was like, I was like, what made you want to reach out now? And he was like, yeah, I don't know, it was weighing on me for a while. Not all consuming, but you know what I mean. After I read a couple of books where the main character's fathers vanish without a trace.
What book club is this?
And he was like, you're obviously not my child, and we only went on a couple.
Oh my god, what's wrong with men? Somebody help them.
We only went on a couple of dates, but the lesson remained that it's really not, just not a good thing to do, to dip from someone's life without explanation. So I waited for an evening I had free and felt clear-headed and just sort of decided it was time to address it. Here we are. I said to that, like, yeah, we truly went on only one date, but what's the explanation? And he was like, explanation for what?
Oh my god. What the fuck?
And I said, sorry, what's your explanation for dipping? And he said, there's really not a reason for that explanation. My job's really hectic. I mean, his job was in, like, political journalism. I'm sure that is the case.
So DC. Obnoxious.
But, okay. And I was like, okay, great. No need to text.
Oh, boy.
What?
Thanks for that.
Fuck. That's so weird. And it's so, like, it almost just, it annoys me because it's him making himself, like, so important. Like, right. I must have traumatized this woman by not texting. It's like, no, you didn't fucking text him either.
I know. And I said to him, too, I was like, you know, if it had really bothered me, I would have just texted you.
So yeah. Whatever.
It was like, I started dating someone pretty shortly. It's like, this is, but yeah. So that was my worst first date.
Yeah, hashtag worst first.
What? But yeah, it was a fine date. It was just, like, weird texts, like, a year later.
It makes me so mad that men think they have, like, I it's a really big pet peeve of mine when men, like, believe themselves to have a ton of power over us.
Yes.
When mm-hmm. there's no indication of it.
Yeah.
I've had that too, where, like, people have reached out or sent me a Facebook message being like, hey, I, like, know this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't even remember. Like, I don't know. Like, we hooked up two or three times in 2008. Like, I don't remember. Like, or, I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah. And, like, the lack of agency, like, on our part, too, where it's like, you don't think if, like, you had truly hurt me, I would have been, like drunk one night, be like, fuck you. Like, absolutely would have happened. It has happened. Yeah. The funniest part, too, is, like, before we, like, but on the actual date, I accidentally sent him, like, a video clip of himself that I meant to send to,
I've been there.
To a friend. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, how do I, like, and I was like, this can't be you. Like, haha. I was like, what? And he, like, but he didn't even notice that. And I was like, that, like, that's when I was invested in you. Like, if I was like that, you know, like, if those videos, like, weren't coming anymore, like, obviously I, like, was no longer, like, that into you. But yeah, I don't know why men, you know.
Why men?
Why? Why men? So I feel like we, you know, kind of have some sense of this, but what are both of your relationships to relationships, our favorite cheesy question. And I'm just curious, being twins and growing up together, if you, like, even kind of your relationship to each other's relationships.
It's a great question.
Do you know what I mean?
That's okay. A great question. Yeah, so I can kind of say, like, we obviously have had a very similar backstory in terms of, like, the primary relationship that was modeled for us.
I would say almost identically similar.
Almost identically, yeah. You want to say.
Yeah.
We did grow up in the same household. and our parents divorced when they separated when we were 11, divorced when we were 12, and were never, like, I can think of, like, a few moments where they were, like, seemed to like each other or enjoy each other, but it was pretty acrimonious when they were married. It was very tumultuous. And then after they divorced, they just didn't talk. So the only communication was between the two of us, like, to each other, like, very acrimonious. And what I, like, gathered from that, my relationship, like, lesson or story I got from that was, like, first of all, like, relationships are hard work, and you have to, like, be intentional about who you choose to be in a relationship with, but also, like, that if it's not working, you should leave. Like, please don't stick it out past the point where it's not working. Not that I always, like, have lived that out, but, like, that was how I felt about it. What about you, Maria?
Well, I feel like you could answer this question for me, but I'm, like, always in relationships, and
quite opposite. I'm, like, perpetually single, and she's always in relationships.
Yeah, and I also don't really break up for a while, if ever. And I'm always like, could this person, like, be the parent to my children? And then I'm like, if so, I'll just stay for years, probably.
Relatable.
Which is a cool metric to have when you're, like, in your 20s. That's, like, a really super great thing to
and,
think
like,
about.
And, like, also, not a great gauge. So I don't think, like...
Oh, anyone could be the father or mother, or, like, or anything, like, to your kids.
Co-parenting, right, is, like, more of an issue. Like, could you parent with that person?
The answer is no.
No. Just say no.
So different.
But I would also say, just to answer your other question, like, when I view, me and Maria are actually pretty harsh on each other's relationships, and I think a lot of it, we're better now, but I will say, I don't think it's because we really grew that much. I think it's because we're on opposite coasts, so, like, the other person is not taking time away from the other person, like, to date them.
That's the thing, is, like, we're each other's most important.
We're big quality time gals,
and,
like, yeah. So we're, like... Yeah. Who is this person coming in, and, like, why is my sister choosing him over me, vice versa, which is cool and not codependent at all. So just,
I mean, I felt that in friendships, you know, I even actually, like, because my brother and I, you know, famously another one of our daters, Kenny, we've both been, like, he was in a relationship for a long time in high school into college, but otherwise we've both been single together. So even though I ended up in a relationship first more recently, like, it's just interesting that we both ended up in relationships. You know what I mean? I feel like you feel like that person is taking them away from you a little bit. And I'm not nearly as close with my brother. I love him dearly, but I don't think we have the same relationship that you two do by any means. So it's,
and I think too, we're both like, when we both accurately suss out that, like, the other person is not treating, like, our sister,
we've
well,
been in, like, very unhealthy relationships as well. So it's not like,
it's, like, not like we're
when,
like,
the other dude's cool, we're like, yeah, that's, we'll hang out, all three of us or whatever. Like,
but we just, like, well, most of the time. But, like, I will say, it's just more so, like, we also, like, don't want to hear it when the other, like, we'll make our own mistakes, which is, like, I hope going forward we'll be better able to, like, trust the other person's judgment, because we are usually pretty spot on. It's, like, and it's not even to, like, oh, like, what I've seen this person do, it's, like, what you've told me about them. Mm-hmm. Like, Maria, I was in a pretty unhealthy relationship. Well, actually, it's your podcast, abusive relationship emotionally, when I was depressed and when I was manic. And, like, my whole family, but especially Maria, was like, I don't love this. And I was like, well, screw you. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And also because, like, the nature of abusive relationships is that you stay in them. That's kind of the point. But, like, I will say it was, like, I think after that I've done a better job, hopefully, picking the people, but also just, like, listen. Like, if Maria said that again, I think I would be like, okay, like, let me, like, think about this, like, bring it to my therapist, like, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, I'm just thinking about how, you guys are in your 20s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're 26.
Because, like, I feel like this way about a lot of female friends that I had in my 20s, that they were dating someone who I thought sucked and was bad yeah. for them. And also, really? I dated someone who a lot of my friends thought sucked and was bad for me. But it's really hard when you're not twins and super close and sharing all your feelings. Like, I can't just say to one of my, like, best girlfriends, like, hey, your boyfriend sucks and he doesn't right. treat you that well and I don't like him, because that would be, like, devastating for our friendship. But with right. siblings, like, I can tell my siblings anything the fuck I want.
Oh,
and
right.
I have.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And you can be mad at me, but we're still sisters. So.
Yeah. So it's wild because you guys, I mean, it's a, I'm just, like, guessing, like, it's a cool thing that you guys have this, like, honest chain of communication. But it's tough mm-hmm. because I think almost everyone dates a bunch of people that, like, are not right before they date someone who is right. And then you're totally. Like, oh, this is right. It's good. Go mm-hmm. forth. No complaints, you know?
Right, totally.
Like, I've seen those same friends who dated shitty people in their 20s find, like, a person they really should be with, and I've been like, fuck yeah, two thumbs up, you didn't yeah. ask me, but I'm on board.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, yeah. the good thing about us and our friends, too, like, most of us are in therapy. We're kind of joking, but kind of not. Like, most of our friends have, like, a diagnosable mental illness, like, whether that's, like, anxiety or whatever it is. But, I mean, you two can relate. You went to the same therapist for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like that's helpful, too. You're just like, well, if I don't say something, like, they'll catch it at some point.
Yeah.
But the times that I have, like, I've had a friend who, like, I, like, people I knew in my life, like, knew their partner, like, separately, and I was like, okay, like, just, like, giving you this information from someone else, like, not my opinion of them, like, just telling you, and they ended up dating for years, and I was like, you know what, you just, people yeah. are gonna make their own mistakes when it comes to relationships. You can say one thing once, but past that, like, you're just, you can't make anyone else do anything. Like, that's kind of what life keeps teaching you over and over again, yeah. unfortunately.
That's just so, like, annoying.
You're like, this is so annoying, like, I could just, like, make better decisions for them, but you can't. And so that's kind of what we've been taught too, like, with each other it's harder to let go of that because, again, like, the codependency stuff, but hopefully at some point we'll learn that lesson. I mean, again, opposite coasts help with that.
Yeah,
you don't have to invest in the person's life that much.
And just the fact that you guys are both in therapy and self-aware about it. Like, yeah, I feel like right. that's a big step in anything. Is just like, oh, we realize we do this thing. This yeah. is in my relationship totally. With my family, yeah. where it's like, all right, we realize it. We say it out loud. We
yeah.
maybe right. someday we'll move on from it. Maybe
right.
not.
Right. Like, yeah.
At least we're acknowledging it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about just generally, like, what it's been like to date as a bipolar person. Like, is that something you feel the need to communicate with people? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course you want to communicate that to people at a certain point, but is there a good moment to be like, hey, FYI, or mm-hmm. does it take a certain level of trust to open up in that way? Or how do you guys approach that?
Yeah.
Super great question. Great question. We did a whole episode about this called Disclosing.
Our first episode. Yeah.
Our second episode. Our first was an intro.
Oh, that was okay. Our first official episode.
Mm-hmm.
So annoying.
Yes, Maria will answer for a second. So yeah, it's definitely, I think when we first got diagnosed, or it felt like a really, it was something that we were, like, really working through, and it felt important to share earlier on, because it was something that we were, like, actively thinking about and, like, adjusting to. And as I've gotten further and further away from my only two manic and depressive episodes, I think I've shared it. Well, with the podcast, it's, like, kind of like cats out of the bag. But, like, mm-hmm. I've shared it, like, later because it doesn't really feel, like, as important. But also, I think that I had a tendency to share really early, and that kind of like created like a kind of a false sense of intimacy with the other person, mm-hmm. where they knew something like really important and like potentially like damaging about me. Like it's like you were saying with like the like stigma and like reputation of bipolar disorder, it doesn't, people don't say it in a positive way about people. They like, they're like, oh, my ex was bipolar. And you're like, were they actually? And they're like, oh, no. Or they're like, yes. And you're like, well, okay, like, still, like, not a nice thing to, like, disclose to me. And also, like, you're not saying it in a good way, so it doesn't feel good. But yeah, so, like, I think that our metrics are kind of, like, being in a safe place, like, knowing your reasons for doing it. Mm-hmm. And but also, I do think that at a certain, like, you know, when you start to become more serious, they do deserve to know that, because it is, right. like, a factor that affects our lives. Like, we have to take medication every night. It is possible that we'll have another like manic or depressive episode, even though we've been yeah. stable for a little while. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what Maria said. And yeah. I think, like, right, like, for me, I used to share it to be like, oh, this is like kind of embarrassing to admit, but I was like, oh, it's like such an interesting thing. Like,
yeah.
I had this huge trauma in my past, like, so interesting. But now I'm better about that, and you're just like waiting. I will say, with the podcast, it has gotten harder. Like, when I was having yeah. conversations with Hinge, and I don't know, not that you need to mention a podcast on Hinge, but like
but it's like, a great way to promote it.
I mean,
yeah
exactly. Kimmy, you can relate, like, not wanting to talk about, like, being like, oh, I have this thing with my friend,
yeah,
but not wanting to say, like, what it's exactly about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to be really careful about not sharing it too early on, because I want to suss people out more before I trust them with that much. For me, being bipolar isn't a huge deal, but, like, for a lot of other people, it really is. And, like, if especially they're not aware of it, they can, like, use... this sounds like very paranoid, but like, they can like use it against you, or like make your mental illness the reason why things aren't working, your relationship, or like all your behavior is erratic, you're like bipolar. And honestly, for me, it's not usually my mental health that's like the problem in the relationship, because I like, we have to be so on top of it. Like, we have to take our meds every day, we have to, like, well, we don't have to go to therapy, but it's, you know, we do go to therapy. And like, I can't, like, for a while I had undiagnosed depression, and that was hard in relationships, like, or hard to even get into a relationship, because I was like, who wants to date me, like, what the hell, or, like, to stay in that abusive relationship for longer, because I was depressed, but now I've been stable for 4 years, so it's not, like, it's affecting my day-to-day life. But also, like, we both want to have kids, like, that's obviously a concern. It is genetic. Bipolar is, like, a mental illness that actually is, like, quite genetic, and hence why identical twins both have it. But so that's scary. Like, if you want to have kids with someone, like, that's a concern. I would be fine with my kid being bipolar, but it's harder in some ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I would say sharing with someone before, like, they've committed to you, I think, is a great call, because you don't know what you're committing to.
Right.
But not, like, I don't know, I'm not, like, gonna give an arbitrary number, but, like, I don't know, not on, like, your, like, third date or something. I don't think you need to. So
yeah. I think when it starts to feel like a secret is when you start to feel
oh yeah, the difference between yeah. privacy and a secret. Yeah.
That's so good. Not to, you know, take that and apply it to everything, but it like
no, please do.
I think on a much less serious level, you know, I think navigating the podcast and dating and like the ethics mm-hmm. of that, like, we were like third date rule, and right. it's like, this is wrong. I have to tell them about the first date. Like, I still feel badly, but. Because it felt like a secret, you know? And
right.
that's incredibly insightful way to put it.
Yeah. But it's also, it's so interesting to me and very, very sad. I'm really sorry you have to deal with this. But also the sure. idea that you have to have enough trust with someone to know that they won't use it against you. Like, that is such a thing that people do about things that are really serious, like mental health. Mm-hmm. But also about all kinds of things where it's like, it's so easy for people whose feelings are hurt to, like, lash out at you mm-hmm. and at anything that might be, like, something that's an outlier about you. You know, like just right. pick at something about you that is noteworthy.
Totally.
And, like, be dicks about it. It's so upsetting yeah. that happens, and it really, really yeah. is deeply upsetting that people would... use you know, your mental health as that. Like, that just really grosses me out, and I didn't want to let that fly by without calling out that it was gross. Yeah.
I mean, we're also both not out as bipolar at work either, like, for similar reasons.
I think the cat's out of the bag for me.
I think they know. But no one's acknowledged it yet, so.
It's such an... And it feels like the inherent problem in a lot of this is just, to your point about the modern love show, like, and just the way, like, when I was a younger person, unfortunately, I know I used the word bipolar in the wrong way when I was, like, a young, ignorant person. I feel like, you know, slowly the world's becoming better about being more careful with words generally, but it just feels like this is so under-discussed. I don't know if you, and underrepresented. You know, just hearing both of your stories, and I'm sure we have listeners who, you know, have been diagnosed, but maybe who haven't been diagnosed. I think about myself and my own experiences. It's just, what do you think? This is asking, like, what do you think needs to change? That's unfair. But how can how can someone listening, whether they're dating someone who may have just disclosed that they are bipolar, or, you know, how can we all be better, I guess, is my question.
Well, listen to our podcast. But like, actually, though, like, do your research. Like, don't make that person be in charge of educating you about it. Obviously.
Oh, sorry.
Like, no.
I'm so bad.
Absolutely. You are allowed to ask
questions. Indeed. Well, no, I apologize. I'm like, oh, shoot.
No.
I think... And Maria also feels differently about it. Like, right? Like, Maria wants people to ask her questions.
Okay.
And I do, too. I just don't want to be, like, the only source of knowledge. But, like.
But on this podcast, that's not the case.
Okay.
I wanted to
clarify. That's literally the purpose of it.
Sorry, guys. Just had a meltdown in my brain.
No, imagine we come on and we're like, yep, can everyone just, like, read a book? Thank you.
No, you're got to go. Bye. All right, I've admitted this to Maria and Anna and Liza this morning early. I'm a little bit hungover today. I haven't been hungover in a very long time. So, like, I just had a spiral. So. Sorry, Anna, I interrupted you.
Not, like, literally, I wanted to say to for the listeners, like, they literally told us everything they're going to ask us, like, beforehand, category-wise, and, like, we said yes to all of it, and we are happy to answer this question. It's a great question.
Yes. And also, like, you can ask your partner, too, but just don't make them, like, your only source of information about it, because it's just, like, it's kind of, like, showing that you care about something. It's, like, if you have, like, an interest or, like, a part of your personality, and, like, someone else takes, like, the time to, like, look into it, like, oh, I love, like, I don't know, for y'all, like, The Bachelor, like, they, like, watch on their own, like, that's so nice, like, oh, thank you for, like, doing that for me, and, like, we can also talk about it, but, like, thank you for, like, having some background information on it.
Or, like, I'm sure, like, it makes you feel good when, like, your partners, like, listen to an episode of the podcast that you're, like, particularly proud of or something like that. Yeah, so.
Yes, and also, like, not, like we said earlier, like, not blaming behavior on the mental illness unless you are actually concerned about them going into a manic or depressive episode. And before that happens, like, having talked through, like, how you would approach that. Mind you, I don't think there's, like, a perfect way to do that. And, like, when Marie was manic, I was like, maybe you're manic, and she was like, no. And then it was only when she was depressed that, like, it became helpful for me to say those things. So I don't know, it's always a perfect way of doing it, but that is, like, one way of, like, if you're in a relationship with someone, you should have some sort of plan for what happens if someone becomes manic or depressed again.
That you come up with together.
Yes. Other things you can do, I mean, taking words like bipolar or crazy out of your vocabulary. We've been trying to be better about this, like, in our personal lives, and, okay, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean it in a shady way, but in the secret Facebook group, like, a year ago, I remember everyone was like, that guy must be crazy, and I, like, made a post, and I was like, hey, y'all, like, maybe don't say crazy when we mean, like, they're being a dick, and everyone's like, that makes sense, and I was like, okay, cool, and like, that was, and people were really sweet about it, but it happens everywhere. It wasn't, like, obviously exclusive to this podcast, and, like, with our friends, they'll be like, oh, that's so crazy, and we're like, crazy, or, like, cool, or, like, you know,
and
just,
like, people have gotten better about it,
way better about it, and it's, and honestly, it's something that we did not notice until we ourselves were like, oh,
I need to be better at that.
Me
that's
too.
Like, no, I absolutely say that word a lot, like, now that you're saying
so
it, I'm
hard.
Like,
it's so hard, and I use it, I still use it all the time, because it's, like, it's a catch-all word for, like, intense, or, like,
wild,
like, wild, or, like off the wall, or, like, this
fun.
Person.
fun. Like, surprising.
When something's awesome, I'll be like, that was crazy. Like, it's like the word that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, and it's like, it's nobody, I think, nobody means it in like a like derogatory way. And like, I think what is for me like harder is and I think OCD has this as well. Yeah. Like what you were saying is people would be like, oh, that person's so OCD, or I'm so OCD, that person's bipolar. Like, I literally had a phone conversation with somebody at work who I'm like potentially casting for this like reality show that I'm working on. Unscripted, sorry. But and so, but anyways, so they were, this person was like, yeah, my sister's bipolar, and I was like, are they actually bipolar? And we need to, but we literally like, we need to figure it out, because we can't, for psych evaluations, like if this person is undiagnosed bipolar, like they can't really be on the show, because they're, it's like gonna come out in their psych evaluations with the, when they talk to a therapist. And but if they have a diagnosis and it's like being treated, like it's, that's better. Or this is, or this woman's just being an asshole and calling her sister bipolar because she like does something that is out of the ordinary, like wakes up early or like is mean to her, you know.
Last thing I wanted to say is like, if you don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's bipolar, don't. Like, I don't know if like that is, that's, it's allowed to be a deal breaker for someone. Like, I probably would not date someone who has a history of addiction, because like, I have a history of codependency, and like, that's not a good fit for me. Not that I wouldn't, but it's just like, that could be a deal breaker for me, and that's okay. And also taking care of your own mental health too. So like, get into therapy. Like, I, obviously everyone like always, I'm like, get into therapy, but like, it's okay if you don't want to date someone who like could have a manic episode and you don't feel prepared for it. Like, I would so much rather like know that now than like when it happens and be like, why did you disappear for a month, right? So I'm stuck with it, but like, if it's not your thing, like, you don't have to be
totally. And we're also fairly young, so if you're like in your 20s and you can't handle that, like, it's fine. Like, it's, I think both Anne and I are like totally fine. Or like, if your partner who has bipolar disorder is depressed and like won't seek treatment for it, like, you don't have to stay with that person, like, and don't, you don't have to like let that drag you down. I think for me, a deal breaker now, because I have to be so careful about my mental health, is being with somebody who wouldn't seek treatment if they thought that they were like going through like some sort of mental health crisis. And I dated somebody who, when I told them I had bipolar disorder, he was like, oh, I think I might have it. And like, I should have been like, that's a huge red flag, because I can't be with somebody who actually thinks they might have it and isn't getting treatment for it.
Right.
But I ended up staying with them for 2 years. So like,
We've all been there. We've all been like, this is not a good idea, but we're going to do it. Yeah.
A question about someone who's maybe listening and thinking about, they potentially have bipolar disorder or want to learn more from a professional. What would you just recommend? Is this something someone could be thinking and then like do something about right now? That's a kind of a dumb question, but what, I would just love both of your thoughts.
As long as you have, so what's really helpful, we just had a psychiatrist on our show that'll be coming out. We just interviewed her. She's not been published yet. That'll be coming out soon, and she answers kind of the question, so I'll just kind of paraphrase what she said. But first thing, go to a psychiatrist who specializes in bipolar disorder. A lot of them don't. So, like, it's a hard thing to diagnose and to treat, so go to that. Bring along, like, a family history. So if anyone in your family has a diagnosis of it or perhaps had it, like, bring that. And then last is, like, your own personal history of, like, why you think it could be, like, what's happening could be bipolar disorder, and like different like times in your life when you felt like lower or higher. And if you want, just for right now, do some mood tracking. There, I'm sure there are a lot better resources online for how to do this, but like just rating your mood from like a 1 to a 10 every day and like see if it's going up or down.
Or people, a lot of people do like negative, I think it's -6 or -3 to +6 or +3. So a +6 being like really really manic, and -6 being like really depressed, and then seeing if that's changing a lot. Like, people do it every day when they're first like on their medication to just try to see if the medication's working. But I think it's really scary to have the diagnosis, but it's so much scarier to not. So if you think you might have it, even if they end up saying you don't have it, maybe they have a different diagnosis for you and can help you get on either get into therapy or on medication for something else. And it is quite a hassle, and it's quite expensive in the U.S. to have to take medication every day or to be in therapy. But it ends up being like way more expensive and like way derails your life a lot more if you don't. And once you start having episodes, the more episodes you have, the more likely you are to have more. It's like UTIs. So it's like,
oh, okay.
You should get treatment. Yeah, you should get, if you can get treatment earlier, that's a really good idea. But yeah,
that's very helpful. Thank you both. I think
super helpful. And thank you guys both so much for coming on. Please, I mean, this has been really amazing. I feel like I've learned a lot, and you guys are also just so hilarious and awesome. And I think everyone's going to want to go listen to your podcast. But tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes. Yes. So, okay, so you can find us anywhere that you listen to your podcast, but just by searching Bipolar Bicoastal. And then our tile icon is a little umbrella, right? No, it's a sun with little like raindrops coming down. So that's the one. Because there's a podcast called Bipolar Bicoastal Bisexual, which is not us, despite me being queer.
A little bit accurate, yeah.
Yeah, being a little bit accurate, yeah.
That's wild. That there's
it has
another
one episode, and I wish that we could get them to take it down.
But oh, God.
We're like, but we're twins too, so ha.
Yeah.
Or you can find us on Instagram by, again, it's just Bipolar Bicoastal on Instagram or Facebook.
Or if you think that you have bipolar disorder or you know you have it, we have a secret Facebook group, because it's a little bit different than other podcasts in terms of promoting. Like, privacy is important, obviously. So it's facebook.com/groups/bipolarbicoastalsecret. And we talk there about, like, I don't know, someone recently went through like a grieving process. They posted there, like, Maria had like that funny thing happen at work with the bipolar thing. And I don't know, it's really fun. And yeah, it's just a really good community. You all know.
It's so cool what you're doing. I mean, yeah. Again, this is just like, this is, you know, talking about dating is one thing, but like creating a community, like, for moments like that in life, just, it's so powerful. So.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, but y'all's secret Facebook group is so great. And, like, people, I feel like, have gotten such, like, good advice and, like, good insight from each other on it. So don't
disparage. Yeah, I really like your...
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. We're trying to not disparage what we do so often, but it's a really hard habit to break.
Like, don't insult that.
We're thinking about making an apology jar every time. God. Or what's our jar? Every time we just talk... are mean to ourselves on the podcast.
Oh, you guys were... Okay, but here, I thought of a format that would work, because you guys were saying on the episode, it's like, if you, like, pledge that you'll, like, donate a certain amount, and then every time you apologize, take a dollar amount away from that. So you don't have to, like, try to donate to, like, a bad charity, but it would still be, like, incentivizing not
I like that better than,
it.
Like, threatening donating to Ted Cruz.
So much better.
Liza, when you said anything about, like, the Trump check, I was like, I would have donated so much money to Trump, but I was like, I would never...
I was like, there's one thing in the world that's going to motivate me to write, and that's how much I hate this fucking guy.
Yeah.
I like well, that, also, though. We start with that.
Yeah. Okay. Negative reinforcement. But yours is better because it actually involves donating, which we want to do.
Yeah. We're going to send the full text messages that related to the worst first dates to Liza and Kimmy. They can post them in the secret Facebook group as well. If you're curious about what the... like paragraph long middle part was between like we need high class women to be cam girls and then like wheels are better when they're on carts
so that you don't end up in a sex cult.
I know.
I mean, we can totally admit that we just chatted away for 15 minutes about reality TV, but
I'll just cut in there. Guys, we just had a long chat about reality TV. Some of it may be in, some of it may not be. The bottom line is we really love Anna and Maria. You guys should definitely listen to their podcast. Everything that they talked about is linked below. And thank you guys so much, truly, for coming on. It's been so fun.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been truly like a dream. And a delight.
Oh, it's been a dream. Thank you. We are in the dream too, so we really appreciate it.
Yep. Everyone listen to their podcast. It's great.
Keep listening. Tell your friends. Keep telling your
friends. Your Patreon.
Thank you guys so much.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day.
Go on a date.
Go on a date.